They've raised the bar on Rochester Sports Talk. You're in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader, 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.
Matt Parrino covers the Buffalo Bills for Syracuse.com, the Syracuse Post Standard. He's good with his time and joins us every Tuesday at this time to talk Buffalo Bills. And Matt, next time we see them, it'll be Monday night, and it'll be Jacksonville. We haven't talked since the win in Miami. You were there, and you can kind of speak a little bit more to the vibes around this team right now. It feels like, even though you've got an unprecedented amount of injuries on the defensive side of the ball at this point of the season, the Bills seem to be in good spirits, and that next man up mentality is more than just coach speak to our eyes.
Oh, without a doubt. I mean, this is a team now that has just gotten comfortable filling in for big time names. I mean, year after year, I mean, the names that pop up, Micah Hyde a couple years ago and DeMar Hamlin having to play most of that season. Last season, Tre'Davious White making it all the way back, the excitement around him. Maybe Kyer Elam, it ends up being Benford, and then he goes down. They have to trade for Rasul Douglas. You know, Matt Milano's countless injuries and then having to fill in for him, finding answers. Tyrell Dotson last year putting together the kind of season that got him paid on a new deal in Seattle. And now you got guys like Baylen Specter, the UB boys, Jamarcus Ingram, and Cam Lewis. I mean, it goes on and on this defense. They find a way to stockpile the cupboards with players who, when given the opportunity, it might not always be perfect. Like, you've seen over the years guys go in and it not go perfectly according to plan. I think of Cam Lewis in that Minnesota game and the Justin Jefferson play, where a lot of people would crumble under that kind of one-time experience. But he stuck with it. Year after year, he shows up, does what they ask him to do, and when he got another opportunity to fill in for Taron Johnson over the last two games, you can make an argument that his contributions has been as important as anybody else's. And that's, you know, with a bunch of star-like performances that we can kind of go with here. But this is just Sean McDermott figures out a way to fill in the gaps with guys based on what he does schematically and what they've built on their front. And that's a big piece of this early season success.
Yeah, Matt.
That front was going to have to be good.
There are two. I still want to talk about that win in Miami. It was that impressive. And there are two things that come up from time to time amongst the Bills fan base that, I don't know, we can point to in the win in Miami, maybe put it to rest. Number one, Sean McDermott's a conservative coach. And like, really? He went for it on 4th and 3, the opening drive. That set the tone the whole night, I thought. Just, we're going to be physical. We're going to go out there. We're going to be aggressive. And the Bills did not look back after that. Number two, well, a lot of this rests on Josh Allen's shoulders. The Bills can't win. Well, maybe that's true more often than not, but in that Miami game, that would be welcome in any game where you have Cook and others on offense where, hey, Allen makes a few plays, but, hey, he doesn't have to be Superman here.
Right, and I think they've demonstrated that even last season down the stretch once Joe Brady took over offensively, when they were at their best, that you had to prepare to play them in two different ways. They can be the high-powered passing attack, which they found a way to be at times. I know Stephon Diggs had this downward trend, but, I mean, Josh Allen still put up unbelievable numbers through the passing game last year, and their run game got going. And you played that clip from Dan Orlovsky in the lead-in here, and that's, to me, what people overlooked outside of our bubble, right, like nationally, talking about this Buffalo Bills team. They were returning 4 or 5 starters, and the one player that they were adding to the mix was a guy that Aaron Cromer literally put his stamp of approval on, who played for him in Los Angeles, played in the Super Bowl a couple years ago. For everybody that was worried about how David Edwards was going to fit into this thing, I don't know. I don't think that Aaron Cromer has pushed many buttons that haven't hit since he's been back here. The way he's developed the talent across the line, the level at which Deion Dawkins is playing to kind of lead that unit, Connor McGovern really solidifying things at the center spot, and then that young duo on the right side. That, to me, has been the key ingredient on both sides of the ball, but specifically offensively. When they can run the ball and be physical in the run game with their front, that's when they're just almost an impossible team to defend.
Not only physical in the run game, but I don't think Josh Allen took a single hit on Thursday night. I mean, his uniform was clean, if I'm not mistaken, and These guys are just mauling up front. And then on the defensive side of the ball, we talked about it. I mean, that's a key that you needed on Thursday. You needed to get that pressure up front. Ed Oliver getting home on a fourth down. Again, a play that you think, all right, that's why he's there. That's why you pay him the money you're playing. But let's talk specifically a couple of things. One, Von Miller through 2 weeks, two sacks. Feels like he's back, and we've heard people say, oh, he's big. We've been hearing it all preseason. Feels like Von Miller is back. The spin move on one of those plays was magnificent and reminiscent of Von Miller from his MVP days in Denver. But, you know, you, Matt, a man of fashion and taste, I want to know where you come down on Matt, on Von Miller wearing the autographed ball cap on the sideline, autographed by Von Miller. Did you see that?
Okay, you're going to have to fill me in on this story. I did not see that.
So on the sideline, they pan over to Von Miller. He's on wearing his sideline ball cap, and on the brim of the cap, it's autographed by Von Miller. He's wearing his
We assume it's Von Miller's autograph.
It's number. He's got number 40 on. It's Von Miller's autograph. Von Miller wearing his own autographed sideline cap on the sideline. So, is he starting a trend, or is that just a sign of just how confident this guy's game is? I know he went to the press conference shirtless afterwards. He's feeling himself, isn't he?
Maybe, but, you know, these guys sign hats all the time. Maybe he just picked one up, and I don't know. Like that seems like a little far-fetched, but he would be wearing a... but I'm going to have to do a little bit of legwork on this tomorrow and try to figure this out, because that would be a power move if you were wearing your own autograph on your hat. That's pretty wild.
Matt Perino, Syracuse Post-Standard. Nice little break here for the Bills. 11 days between games. Team back at work tomorrow. Your initial thoughts on Jacksonville coming in at 0-2, Matt, the team that was on the fringe of a playoffs last year, didn't get in last year, got in 2 years ago. What kind of opponent is this for the Bills coming up Monday night?
Another week and another former face, a couple former faces that they'll have to face off against. I mean, it's the tour here, right? They're going to face, last week it was Jordan Poyer. This week it's going to be Gabe and Mitch Morse. A couple weeks it's going to be Steph Diggs. Like, that's a big piece of this. I almost feel like it's fitting that it's in line with the success they're having. It's almost like the revenge tour, like proving that their decisions to move on from all these folks made sense, and they're better off for it. But the Jags are interesting because they're going to be fighting for their season. I mean, how many teams? I mean, you could probably look up the numbers going 0-3 and what the playoff odds are. I mean, I can't imagine that it's good. And this is a team that, for better or for worse, has had a lot of success against the Bills over the last couple of seasons. I know that 9-3 game wasn't anything pretty, but they ended up getting a win, and last year in London, getting a win. So, you know, for whatever reason, just like the Bills, for whatever reason, plays so well against Miami. It feels like Jacksonville and Trevor Lawrence play pretty well against Buffalo. We'll see, though, with the 11 days to prepare and the scene shifting to Buffalo. They played him a couple years ago in Jacksonville. Last year was in London. This one is the home field advantage. I really like the Bills in this spot. And, man, all of a sudden, how much has the dynamic changed in the conference? I mean, a couple weeks ago, everybody was talking about Kansas City Chiefs and the Baltimore Ravens. And now the Ravens are sitting here at 0-2, and we don't know what that looks like for them when the Bills go to play against them in 2 weeks. So a lot in front of the Bills here, a lot of opportunity. This is going to be a massive opportunity for them to go 3-0 and really assert themselves as, once again, one of the top Super Bowl contenders.
So if you're Doug Peterson and you're planning for this game on Monday night, Matt, what part of the Bills' defense are you looking to exploit? Is it that second level there with Williams and with Baylen Specter, or is it the secondary? Are you trying to get something behind Damar Hamlin or Taylor Rapp? Where do you think he's going to try to use some of this? Because he's got talent on the offensive side of the ball. And you mentioned Lawrence has played well against the Bills.
Yeah, I mean, there's some opportunity for, like, breaking tackles, I guess. Like, that's been a something over the first 2 weeks that if at times when things haven't gone well, I feel like the tackling hasn't been pristine as it needs to be. For the most part, it was on Thursday. I'm more for referring to the Arizona game, and you know, we saw what that offense did in week two. But I think that's just it. I think it's just being, you know, really responsible in the run game, especially trying to shut that down. And then the matchups against their offensive line, like, you have to be able to generate pressure against Trevor Lawrence. You saw how much success Cleveland had getting after him last week, and I think it's just going to be about, you know, taking advantage when you have opportunities to turn the ball over, getting those turnovers, then holding up in the red zone. The Bills have done such a good job, again, even at times when the Miami Dolphins figured out a way to drive the football a little bit, They still held up for the most part in the red zone outside of a Baylen Specter gaff on his first play going in for Terrell Bernard. I thought the way that Specter responded in that game and the play that he gave them, how much he was flying to the football in the run game, decent in coverage, that's a huge shift here. If he could just stay healthy, whenever Baylen Specter's been on a football field for the Bills and he's been playing, whether it's preseason or regular season, I thought he's been good. It's just been about, can he stay healthy? So if he can stay out there, if he can stay healthy, I think they're in a really good spot with him.
Matt, last one for me, and I don't know how you spent your non-Bills Sunday. I just watched some football, and I actually watched the Jets. I didn't come away. Yeah, they won, but I didn't come away all that impressed.
No, I mean, this is what I've been talking about for the last couple of months as the circus has like really gotten riled up around the New York Jets in 2024. I mean, their offensive line right now, it's been whole, and I haven't been overly impressed. Part of the reason is because I don't think Aaron Rodgers has the mobility at this stage of his career to make anything happen outside the pocket. And so when you're stuck in there, and you're going to see it, you're going to still see pieces of the old Aaron Rodgers where he, you know, gets a dime off and reads the defense and puts a perfect pass out there. But that's going to be more of an occasional occurrence, I think. And that defense, man, I saw a cornerback graph that was put out yesterday, I think, or today, had Christian Benford. It was EPA per play and maybe passer rating allowed. And Christian Benford, if you look at this chart, is literally at the top right corner, and Sauce Gardner is almost at the bottom left corner. If Sauce Gardner is not going to be an elite-level cornerback, it's only 2 weeks. It's a very small sample size. That's a huge issue for this New York Jets defense, who are now without Jermaine Johnson. I thought that the depth on the defensive line was already taking a hit. Now you can game plan specifically for Quinnen Williams like you haven't been able to the last couple of years, and they're going to be forced to be a run-heavy team, and they had enough run success against the Titans to pull that game out, but it wasn't easy. And if Will Levis doesn't just absolutely throw up all over himself in the red zone there, who knows how that game ends up being.
Matt, what are you working on this week leading up to Monday night in the Shout podcast and at Syracuse.com that we could check out?
We got the show tomorrow night. We'll be down at the One Bills Drive getting our media day on. And then this Friday night, Wingnuts, 1402 Millersport Highway. If you're in town or want to make the hour drive, come on out. The live show, we're going to have a lot of fun.
Matt, appreciate the time, bud. We'll see you out at the stadium.
All right, boys. Take care.
You got it. There is Matt Perino covering the Bills for the Syracuse Post-Standard. Read his work at Syracuse.com. Check out the Shot podcast.
Things are really going well here. The injury is a little out of control, but Jacksonville is a team danger that comes in with a lot of pressure on it. Remember, Shad Khan said he thought this roster, what was the quote here? There's actually a soundbite here we can play for you. This was Ben Volin today on One Bills Live talking about the pressure that's on Doug Peterson.
The owner there, Shad Khan, made no bones about it. He came out and told the media, this is the best team we've ever had. We're the most talented. It is time to win. Prove how good we are by winning now. And it really turned up the temperature on Doug Peterson early in the season. Doug Peterson needs to win some games in the worst way.
They have no continuity. I think what you've seen through 2 weeks, Doug Peterson, there's a reason why Doug Peterson isn't still in Philadelphia. Let's face it. I mean, he caught lightning in a bottle. They win the Super Bowl. He's a hero. But it fell apart very quickly. And I think in Jacksonville, what you're seeing is Doug Peterson handing off play calling responsibilities and taking them back. And there might not be any, like, who's in charge? Like, who's really calling the shots? And if you've got the owner being this vocal about what this roster is, you're the owner. Let Balke and let Peterson determine how talented this roster is. If you really believe that, you know, then you can proceed with confidence if you're Doug Peterson and know we're going to win football games. This roster is fantastic. I don't need the owner saying things like, we need to win now. This is the most talented, according to you. But look at talent evaluators and say, is this really the most talented roster they've had?
You can say that behind closed doors. When
yes.
You go in front of the cameras and say that, okay, you just set the bar at a stupid high level. Like, stupid high.
And
you know the Chiefs are in this conference, right?
And you know that the coaching staff doesn't appreciate it. You know that the players don't appreciate getting called out. Like, the owner is calling you out. The owner is saying, you're underachieving.
Yeah, and when an owner spends money more than he should. I'm just wondering, like the Gabe Davis signing. Like
the Christian Kirk signing.
Right.
He's been invisible. He's not worth what you're paying him. No. These are mistakes. So, yeah, there's all kinds of, I mean, again, dysfunctional organizations do dysfunctional things. I view Jacksonville as a dysfunctional organization. Now, I thought they were going to be better through 2 weeks than they are, and I'm not going to give up on them yet. They could still find themselves farting around here at some point this season, but man.
I see what you did there.
What did I do?
Well, Jaguars farting around.
Ah, yes, I forgot. Yes, it would yeah. It would have to be Jacksonville farting around because only Jacksonville's GM lets one fly in the middle of a press conference.
We're not there yet. You know, we still got a couple of days going through. Coach and I haven't sat down and gone through the final board yet. We'll do that on Monday.
Literally, the team that is farting around, your Jacksonville Jaguars. That's Trent Baalke during the off season. Unbelievable.
But,
and just owning it. Not even hiding it. Just owning it. Excuse me. Moving on.
Excuse me. Yeah. Like other great did he fart or not kind of things. No, there's
no,
that was me. Yep. That's a power move.
Yeah. You own it. You have no shame in your game. We're going to come back with more next. I got more thoughts on last night's game. I have thoughts on the presentation of last night's game. My God, did ESPN forget that Atlanta has fans? I don't know that they have a lot of fans, but they do have fans. There were people in Atlanta that I'm sure were watching that game last night, and you've got a legitimate gripe if you're a Falcons fan after watching that game
last
night.
Did they do any prep on the Falcons? Like, what I was out last night, so I didn't get to hear actually the audio of it. No.
Dude, it was something. We'll dive into that here in a little bit. We have time for your calls as well at 866-4326, 585-866-4FAN.
You're listening to The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia. On 95.7 FM and AM 950, The Fan Rochester.